there are things that you need to do, but you feel you lack the power, you lack the motivation to really do anything, it could well be that you really need to understand this passage today. And it's been like the missing piece of the puzzle, that once you get it, suddenly there's power. We also discover here there's secrets here for effective prayer. This passage is also a prayer. It begins, I kneel, and then he says, I pray, and then he says, I pray again, and it ends with an amen. It sounds like a prayer to me. And it's like we're listening. It's like we're listening in to the most beautiful, sacred prayer. It's full of longing. It's full of godly desire. It's beautiful. It's breathtaking. And it's a prayer that God answers. Prayer can be difficult, can't it? Sometimes we don't know what to say. Maybe that's you. You come to pray and you can think of a few things that you need to ask God for, but you struggle to pray for others. You don't know really what to ask God for them. It's hard to think of things to say. And I think that if we prayed this sort of prayer, I'm convinced that we would see more answers to our prayers, because it's a perfect prayer. It's a prayer that was inspired by the Holy Spirit and is now found in the Bible. And I don't think we often pray like this, but we should. So, let's read it. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this prayer. Let it speak to us. Let it teach us. Lord, help us not to just enjoy this message, but live out this message, in Jesus' name. Amen. You and I need to experience the love of Jesus. It's not simply enough to know the facts of the gospel. It's not even enough to have a bit of intimacy and a bit of awe in prayer. We need to experience the love of Jesus. We need to know how much he loves us. That's what Paul prays, that we might have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And he says that this love surpasses knowledge. It's not just an intellectual idea that we're meant to grasp. It's more than that. It's a reality that fires the spirit. It's something that warms the heart. It touches our emotions. It's more than just a feeling, but it's not less than feelings. And we live in an age, don't we, where human love is massively overrated. There are so many films, there are so many songs about romantic love that idolize people finding their soulmate who will complete them. Sadly, divine love, the love of God, the love of Jesus, is massively underappreciated, ignored, neglected. People don't know what God's done for them. Some people even think of God as cruel, when every single day he is acting in love and mercy towards them. And that's because people don't love the truth. Not really. If they did love the truth, they would find that the love of God is an inescapable reality. So I'm going to answer two questions for us today. What makes the love of Jesus so wonderful? And secondly, how do we experience it? How does this work? Firstly, what makes the love of Jesus so wonderful? Well, the answer is found here. It's wide, it's long, it's high, and it's deep. Let me explain. His love is wide. His love welcomes all to come. His arms embrace anyone who would turn to him. His love is wide. Jesus said that, I'll never turn away anyone who comes to me. There's not one single person on this planet that is too sinful, too rebellious, too evil, too messed up, too broken for his love to reach them. And we of course see this, don't we, in the life of Jesus. You see this in his encounters. He meets person after person after person, and he gives all of them a way to know him. He gives all of them a way. Not everyone comes into his embrace, but he opens his arms to them. His love is wide. We see him meet all sorts, don't we? We see him meet respectable religious people like Nicodemus, who discovers his love, who seeks him out. We see him calling out Zacchaeus, a bit of a thief, a bit of a lowlife, rich but unpopular. We see him meeting poor and needy people, the blind, the lame, the crippled. They all experience his love and his forgiveness. It's because his love is wide. And that means his love is wide enough to include you. His love is also long. His love lasts. It doesn't spoil or fade or change. It goes on and on. It doesn't run out. You know, you might have had experiences of relationships where there was love, but it didn't last. Maybe you've experienced relationships that have been on and off. You know, they're one minute they say they love me, then the next minute they don't seem to love me, and then the next minute they say they love me. The love of Jesus isn't like that, is it? It's long. It just keeps on going. It doesn't run out. We see this in the Bible just when we read the Old Testament and the story of Israel. They're so annoying sometimes, aren't they? You read about the things that they do. There's a bit of the Bible that really winds me up, and it's when the people of Israel are going through the desert, and they're always grumbling, and they're always complaining, and God's doing all these miracles for them, and you just think, oh, and I get fed up with them. I think, oh Lord, don't bother, they're so annoying, they're always forgetting the things that you're doing and not appreciating you. But of course we're all like that, aren't we? But God doesn't give up on us, does he? God didn't give up on Israel. They're so rude. They don't appreciate the things that he does for them. But he still loves them, and he sent Jesus. His love is long. It goes on and on. It doesn't run out. His love is high. His love lifts us to the highest place. You may recall, if you were here for the first session, we did this little kind of reenactment of God's love for us, and we showed how he stoops down and lifts us up and seats us high with him. God's love for us elevates us. We find we've got this seat next to him in his throne room, and he says, come and sit with me. Come sit beside me. He lifts us all the way up to the highest place. We find we've got a crown. We find we've got a throne. We find there's glory. He's taken us from the very lowest place of all, and he's lifted us to the highest place. What extraordinary love. His love is high. Fourthly, his love is deep. His love was willing to reach down into the deepest, darkest pit and save us. He was willing to come down from the highest place to the lowest place, where there was muck and sin and evil and ugliness. And he was willing to get into that mess and into all that garbage so that he could save us. And of course, that was what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was climbing into our dark pit of sin and muck and shame. it was covering him, and he was taking all of that junk, all of it on himself. And he didn't have to do that, did he? He was allowed to choose. But when the moment came, he said, "Father, not my will, but what you will." He chose. He chose to go to the deepest, darkest place for you and me. That's pretty amazing love. Wide, long, high, and deep. That's the love of Jesus for everybody here. But how do we experience it? How do we know this love? I think there are four answers here in this passage. I think there's probably more answers in other places in the Bible, but I think there are four ways that we experience this love. We've kind of touched on the first one already. Number one, rehearse the gospel to yourself. This prayer comes after 2.5 chapters of the gospel. Now, a lot of the people who were getting this letter had already heard the gospel. They knew about Jesus dying and rising from the dead. They knew about the cross. They knew about the church. Not all of this letter was necessarily new information. But Paul tells them again. And he does this in every single letter that he ever writes. Why? Like, why does he keep just re-explaining the same basic ideas? And it's because the gospel is an endless source of joy and power. It's not like Pringles, it's like oxygen. Like Pringles, and we've had a few Pringles. Thanks, Ruth, for the Pringles. And I was a bit cheeky. I wrote on her shopping list, "Buy crisps for Rob." I'm naughty like that, just confessing. And Pringles are great, you know. They, you know, they're extra good on air. Source of power and energy that you can just keep drawing down from. It doesn't kind of fade or spoil. And we don't really need new truth. We just need the same truth with fresh understanding. We need to learn to rehearse the gospel to ourselves. Do you ever do that? Do you ever remind yourself of what Jesus has done for you? There are so many ways that we can do this. None of it's rocket science. And worship, singing songs that remind us of the gospel, do this. We just start to feel something. Sometimes it's not that quick or that easy. Sometimes you just put on a CD and you just play a song and it's about the gospel and you're reminding yourself of what you already know, and suddenly it starts to just come alive. You start to just warm up a bit. You start to thaw. But we can also rehearse the gospel to ourselves in the way that we read the Bible. You know, we can read the Bible, and that's good, but we also need to learn to meditate on the Bible, to actually take it and chew on it and feast on it and eat it. And I could do a whole talk on how to do that. Now, I've been reading the Bible almost every day of my life since I became a Christian. Not every day, but most days. And it's more of a delight to me now than it's ever been. Because I've learned. I'm learning to meditate on it. When I first started reading the Bible, it was a sort of a tick list thing to do. You know, I'd read it, not understand any of it, but feel like, well, at least I've read it, and I'd tick off the chapter that I'd read. And I sort of felt a bit better that I'd read some. So I sort of felt like a bit more of a successful Christian, but I hadn't really feasted on it. And this is an art that we all need to learn. It's a discipline that we can all grow in over our whole lives, learning to feast on it and take it in and respond to it and see what God is saying to us in it. And, you know, maybe that's something you need to go away and read about and learn about, or you can come and ask me. I can show you what I do. to meditate on the Bible. Secondly, we need to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul is praying with real passion for these Christians to have this knowledge and experience of God's love. And so this is something that we need to ask God for. Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. You know, people say, I don't really experience God's love very much. When did you last ask? Oh, I have to ask. Yeah, you can ask. And he prays specifically that we might have power to grasp the love of God. You can't actually experience Christ's love without the Holy Spirit helping you. It's one of the things that he does. It's like one of his jobs. His job is to help you experience the love of God. And so you need to ask the Father, Father, give me the power. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit so I can know your love for me today. You're going to wake up some mornings, you're not going to feel anything. You're not going to be experiencing the love of God. You need to ask. You need to say, God, would you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I'd have the power to know this love? Pray persistently about this. Don't give up on it. It's a wonderful thing. It's worth asking God for, don't you think? This high, wide, long, deep love. Don't settle for anything less than what Paul wants here. Thirdly, this might surprise you, enjoy other people appreciating God's love. Enjoy other people appreciating God's love. Paul prays that we might experience this love together with all of the Lord's holy people. Now that teaches us something vitally important. To truly experience God's love in its fullness, you need to be in community. It's like marveling at an amazing mountain, but if you're just seeing it from your position, you're not seeing the full mountain. But imagine a mountain that's got 30 different people all standing at different places, looking up at the same mountain and seeing something else magnificent. They're all seeing the same thing, but they're appreciating it from different perspectives. You can't see or enjoy all of the mountain from your own point of view. You need to hear and listen to what other people are seeing and saying. And you've got to learn to enjoy that. When someone comes to the front and just says something about God's love, we can sometimes think, oh, that's nice for them. Look at them, they're experiencing God's love. That never happens to me. Or we can go, wow, they're seeing something about God's love. I need to listen to this. I need to enjoy what they're appreciating and take it in. And it will help me see. I so often experience the warming up of my heart to God's love when I'm having a conversation with someone else about Jesus. You know, you're explaining things and they're reacting and they're asking questions. And you're seeing, it's almost like it comes alive again. It's fresh when you're talking it with people, when you're discussing it. You know, sometimes it's, you know, chatting to Christine, you know, while we're doing something around the house and we're just talking about what we're reading. Or sometimes it's talking to somebody who's not a Christian and just explaining the Bible. And I'm not feeling beforehand particularly warm to God's love. And then it sort of sneaks up on you. You find yourself talking about it. You find yourself seeing them respond to it, and it's like it comes alive. It's like you warm up. So we experience God's love not just as a me and God thing, but in community. And maybe actually the problem is that we're just not talking enough about this stuff. It's like we turn up on a Sunday and it's like, oh, Rob said a few nice words. But we're not talking about it through the week. We're not talking about it with other people. It's just something we listen to occasionally. And do you know what the Bible says? Encourage one another daily. If you bump into someone who loves Jesus, you can be a blessing. You can be an encouragement. We need one another. And number four, again, this one might surprise you. Be loving in your relationships. Paul talks of this church being rooted and established in love before he prays for them to experience this love. And what he's saying is that we need to be settled and firm in our decision to love others as a foundation of experiencing Christ's love for us. It's a bit like an endless circle. We love others, and somehow through that we experience Christ's love, which helps us then love others. And so we then experience Christ's love, and it's like a positive spiral. I mean, we all know about spirals, don't we? Sometimes we have negative spirals, don't we? You know, like if you're worrying about something, you can like go, whoa, the more you talk about it, like the lower down, the plug hole you're getting. But this is like the opposite. It's like you love others, you experience the love, you've got more love to give, you love others. It's like you start spiraling up. And I guess this makes sense. Asking to experience something that you never show other people is sort of a bit odd. And of course, the key to the whole love thing is that if you only love people when you feel loving, you will feel less and less loving. But if you love people even when you don't feel loving, you will feel more and more loving. There's this element of choice. There's this element of kind of settled choice. I have decided that I'm going to love people. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to love my church family. He says rooted and established. That's like two images, really. The roots of a tree, a soil, and also the foundation of a building. Things that don't move. It's my firm decision and resolution from this day forward that I will love. I will love my neighbor, and I will love my church, because I want to be rooted and established in love. And that's one of the ways that we experience God's love. It's by stepping out to love someone else when we feel nothing. I heard a story last night of a lady that really felt God speak to her about sending someone else a bunch of flowers with a message that said, basically, these flowers are from Jesus. It was an expensive bunch of flowers. It was hand-delivered the next day to this lady with a note. And the lady who sent the flowers really felt in prayer that this lady that she knew needed flowers from Jesus. What she didn't know was that the lady who received the flowers had prayed the day before, God, if you're real and you love me, send me a bunch of flowers tomorrow. I think that's pretty fun. I think that's pretty cool to do stuff like that. Sometimes you step out to love others, and you find in loving them, you experience the love of Jesus. You know, you spend time, you know, I remember holding someone's sick bowl when they were drunk and they were in a complete mess and there was no one to help them, and I literally held their bowl while they repeatedly threw up because they'd had too much vodka. And I remember feeling that God loved me. And I thought, well, that's weird. I was just holding someone's sick bowl. And that's sometimes how it works. I think it's kind of fun that it works that way. So people, this is what we need. This is what we need if we're going to have real power and motivation to live the Christian life. This is what we need. This is what the kind of thing we should be praying for. It's what we need as a church. Why don't we pray? It'd be great if the team could come back as well. Father, it's clear to me that the love of your Son Jesus is a lot better than I know or fully understand. I can comprehend that, Father. And so I know that I need your Holy Spirit to get it. And I know that all of us here, we need that. We need it too. Would you pour out your Holy Spirit on us? Would you give us the power and the strength to know this love? We need it, Lord, so much more than we could ask, imagine, or even comprehend. We're more thirsty and starving for this than we could ever comprehend, and we need it. God, would you help us? We pray. Help us to know this love. In Jesus' name. Amen.